Hi, I'm Nigel Baker, and you're listening to The Future Financial Advisor. We're running this podcast to create an avenue for advisors to share their thoughts and their best interests and really trying to attract those advisors who want to take the industry forward. What we want is great businesses who are really making a difference and really making a big impact to their clients, and we want to know how they're doing it. So in this series, we're going to be discussing the latest digital platforms, some best practices, evidence-based investing strategies. We want to give financial advisors the tools they need to help more investors improve their financial well-being. So if you're ready to take the industry forward, modernise your advisory practice and reach a new generation of investors and the new generation of advisors, then this show is for you.
So all our recordings and podcasts are general advice. All the content, all the people interviewing here, it's all their own opinions and all their own views. In no way does it constitute any personal advice or recommendations. If you need specific advice, please go and seek an advisor. Thanks very much.
Well, good morning, Tom. Welcome to today's show. How are you?
Good, Nigel. Yourself?
Yeah, really well. Great to have you on board. And very topical today with a lot of IT and cybersecurity issues going on in the world. But before we grab into your expertise in that space and some hopefully a good discussion around cybersecurity, the question I'd first like to ask is, tell me a bit about you and your story.
Yeah, for sure. So we're All IT. I'm the managing director. We've been in operation for well over 15 years, headquartered in Sydney on the Northern Beaches and operating all over Sydney, but also offices in Brisbane, Melbourne, the Northern Rivers, up around Byron Bay, another office in central west of Orange. So our locations everywhere and team all across the country and certainly other people across the country. We're a boutique firm. We look after a lot of financial planners, family offices, large high net worth individuals in terms of their IT requirements as well as other industries, but with focusing on key verticals of, IT consulting, cloud transformation, IT support, telephony, and of course the most pertinent topic and one that is growing for us and everyone in cybersecurity. So it's just exploding, and I'm sure we'll go into further detail in the chat today.
Yeah, well, it's actually, I didn't realize how actually geographically diverse you were. And I suppose, like anyone in business, IT moves from or probably in our mindsets, running a business from setting up the computers, getting it going, and suddenly IT becomes this whole world of, suddenly everything went to the cloud, and now we've got cybersecurity. So, yeah, the issues are huge at the moment, but what's going on? Tell me about your thoughts on what's been going on the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, Optus is obviously front of mind for everybody. And I think obviously the cyber risk has been growing exponentially over a number of years. And obviously it's now out of control and it's really front of mind, and so it should be. But, it really comes down to, I think what the topic on everyone's mind as a result of the Optus is the collection and control of personal identifiable information. That's been the big one for people, and one that people are questioning from a personal level. And I think in the financial planning industry, it poses an interesting question for Optus. Just going back to Optus, I mean, there's a question as to why they need this information. For financial planners and accountants and lawyers and all those people in those industries, the collection of personal information is a must. I mean, you cannot provide services to people without collecting that information. So it goes now to, how people dealing with that information and controlling that information and securing that information. It's been spotlighted earlier this year. There's a financial planning firm that was fined $750,000 for failing in its obligations as a licensee over a number of incidents. So the threat is real. And I think one of the big things for a lot of people in the industry is the line of thinking that, I'm too small, I'm not a target. It's just not the case. If at all, you're more of a target the smaller you get outside the larger firms, because these cyber hackers that are located throughout the world know that people haven't focused on their security. They don't have the controls and processes in place. So therefore, they are at risk, and we're seeing it every day. We see it week in, week out. And the level of responsibility is now growing, because as we've seen from Optus, they're now in a process not only of, controlling the cyber event, but the making good on the effect of the incident. So, it comes at a large cost, not only from a fine perspective, but the focus will now be on, I feel, is really around you know, if an incident was to occur for a small business, a small financial planning or a medium, no matter what the size, is the making good of that for those affected. So it's a big topic, and there's a number of things which we will go into, but it's one that people really need to start to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sort of seems to have just launched, hasn't it? I mean, it was only a year ago you're sort of reading things about this, thinking, oh, well, we better get better, you know, password protection, things like that. But it's become a much bigger piece. And obviously we've been using it for a long time, but we've recently upped that in terms of having a much more cybersecurity policy in place as well. And we're only a relatively small business. But, What happens in a situation like an Optus? Like, what, for all those us out there, we think we know a bit about tech, but we don't really. So just explain, I suppose, in layman's terms to someone running a financial services or accounting business, what actually happens? Like, someone hacks into your server and then just literally downloads the data. Is it as simple as that? And then they've suddenly got everyone's, yeah.
Look, it's happening, Nigel, from a number of perspectives. So we look at cybersecurity from a vast array of angles, but from an actual incident occurring, we see it from a few primary areas. I mean, there's a lot of things that can occur. The hacking of your email is a major one. So securitization around whether you're using Google or Microsoft 365, Gmail or Microsoft 365. So securing those, and we can go into that. The what we refer to as securing the endpoint. So your computers you use, the mobile devices that you use. And also the other major one is the securing of platforms. So, you know, what passwords are you using? How are you accessing these? I think everyone listening would fall victim of using the same password or similar passwords across your organization. So there's a number of things that you can do in regards to those three main areas and their resultants, but those three major ones that really do affect to put in place. So, and when we can talk through some of those, just highlighting, but I mean, they're three of the main areas where you're really at risk. We see a lot of people being exposed on their email, just general password protection and multi-factor authentication, and a lot of incidents around that. People clicking on the wrong links from an email and then exposing the endpoint, and then of course just the leakage of passwords, incorrect passwords, out on the dark web. People getting access to that, and again further to that, weak passwords, no multi-factor authentication. It's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much you've got to be aware of. I mean, I was away for the weekend, the long weekend. I was reading one of those Grisham books. You know, it's about this lawyer, and he's just downloading. He's got a spyware that as soon as someone opens an email, he's able to access their whole booking system, hotel booking systems, whole law firm's data files and stuff like that. You go, wow, this is probably quite real, I suppose. There's technology out there and people trying to do that and open up just by having something attached to an email. So I've got to be so aware. And then obviously we give so much data away. I mean, we're happy to give away our phone number, name, address to, you know, JB Hi-Fi or whatever, you know, we just do because we're just used to it. So we've sort of got used to that, just giving our data away without thinking too much about it. So what are you seeing out there? What are the three key things businesses should look out for to start to get their house in order around cybersecurity?
Yeah, so when people come to us initially, particularly new clients, I mean, I think the three things that I think are, you know, again, there's a list a mile long, but what do we do? So, you know, a comprehensive audit, and I suppose before this is taking a proactive look at this and just not, you know, hoping that it goes away. But what we do is do a comprehensive check of your cybersecurity posture. That includes your email, your cloud storage, endpoints, policies that you've got in place, how your domain and website is protected. You know, we follow up a very methodical plan and path that's tied to the Australian government's Essential 8 cybersecurity guidelines. And further also the NIST guidelines, which comes out of the states, which is to identify, protect, detect, respond and recover. So it's a very structured approach. I'd also look at cyber security insurance as a coverage. Only around 20% of financial planners and I think probably only a touch more SMEs in the country have cyber security insurance, and that's a really big one to have some protections around that. And you'll find by taking that out that you will have need to have gone through a very methodical process of checks and balances, policies in place prior to even taking out the insurance. And the other one that I would think is very important is just some practical training for staff, you know, around password protection, testing of your staff. We do a lot of testing with no knowledge of the business taking place. You know, and some other things, some other practical things that sit outside a technical aspect is, you know, we see all too often people, hackers, requesting the change of bank account details or executing of trades or things. It has to be followed up from a practical perspective with a phone call. Do not rely upon email communications or text communications to take place because it may not be them. So there's a component that, you know, I often say we can do as much as we can technically to protect individuals and businesses, but there's some common sense and some and a backstop of process that needs to take place in a firm that's really important as well.
Yeah, I think it's just having that initial awareness, particularly the training is huge, just to get everyone's awareness around basic things. It is surprising still how some people are a bit unaware when you start the training process, even and that they're still leaving, you know, computers open when they go out for lunch, little basic things like that, where they might think, oh, who's going to come in here? But you just never know. It only takes one person and suddenly you've lost total. Someone might just download your whole filing system just from ducking in a courier package or something. Yeah.
That's interesting, Nigel. I mean, that and leaving endpoints unsecured, even not at lunch. I mean, earlier this year, I think it was this year, or sorry, it was in 2020, a Western Sydney tax accountancy firm got exposed. They got broken into physically. Nothing occurred for 6 months until after July. I think it was about July the 20th when BASs were being lodged for refunds to the wrong accounts, to dummy MyGov accounts. So there's a physical aspect to it as well. And the ramifications of that, again, that those clients are still being affected by that. So that's also very pertinent.
That sounds pretty scary. I mean, how quickly can sort of businesses get all this in place? I mean, if they're starting from scratch and they really, and as you know, there must be 30,000, you know, financial services firms around the country, small and large. I mean, the big ones obviously have probably started putting a lot of policies and procedures, but a lot of the small and medium sized probably haven't got very tight policies. They might think they do, but they probably really don't. So, you know, what does it take to get something in place that's going to be relatively secure?
Yeah, look, and I think that's what we try and do is not sort of scare the pants off people. And further to that, it's lifting your security posture from a policies and procedures and all the platforms we put in place and all the things that, you know, a professional IT services firm do shouldn't be too onerous and it shouldn't be too costly. I mean, there's a cost to it, but this is not a lot of the basic things we put in place. Yeah, you know, you can go from a very low level to a very high level without really spending a lot of dollars. But it's about going through the process. It's about being committed to it and also taking all your employees on the journey. There's no point having all this, doing all these things and everyone not being on board as well. It's vitally important. So, you know, there's a number of things that we can put in place. Obviously, we go through a very rigorous process to put it in place. That's a piece of work that needs to be done up front. There's some platforms that we put in place to protect, what's the best-in-class platforms. Again, a lot of those don't have to be onerous, but you've got to be up to speed on what they are and the best ones. And then an ongoing piece put in place. And also making sure that you've got the policies. If there was an event to occur, how do you deal with it? Are you across, you know, if there is a process, the Notifiable Breach, Data Breaches Act, you do have to notify the federal government within a certain time frame, in a certain manner. Do you have those policies and procedures in place? Because that's when you can get, you know, I can sit here and say you can do all these things, but at the end of the day, you cannot reduce your exposure to zero. It's impossible. So you need to have these things in place in the event that something does occur, that you've got a policy and a procedure to follow, because it is extremely, I mean, you've only got to look at what's occurring with, you know, the Optus CEO and the pressure these people are under. It is immense. And, you know, from a financial services perspective, you know, a lot of the time you've got the keys to the castle. so to speak, and it's frightening. So there, and we guide people on that journey as well to make sure those are things are in place, they're updated, and hopefully it never occurs. But you've got something to fall back on, should it?
Yeah, wow. I mean, with our financial services, obviously we're collecting all their data, as you know. Like, so it's everything: tax file numbers, bank account details, past copies of ID. We've got it all. So we would be a high risk for these businesses out there that are trying to hack into business. Surely they are having a go at that, saying, hey, these small to medium-sized firms, they probably haven't got great protection in place. Is that what you're seeing out there, that there's a lot of demand suddenly from the small or medium-sized sector to say, hey, we've got to sharpen this up ASAP?
Yeah, 100%. So, obviously, Optus, we were having a lot of conversations with clients, both existing and new, and obviously this has just come to front of mind. So it's just been, an onslaught of discussion, which is fantastic, because a lot of people have sort of, it's one of those things that I'll get to. So in a lot of senses, this has been very good for the industry, because unfortunately, through an unfortunate situation, that it has come front of mind. So people are thinking of it and putting things in place. So yeah, it is. And people are being serious about, just having conversations over the weekend in regards to passwords. Everyone sort of is just something really specific, but, people are coming to me and saying, I do use the same password across a number of things. All my staff know the password. And there's practical things on a specific case, on that. So you're using a password management tool with complex passwords, hiding the passwords from your staff and yourself, so they can't be copied if you have a staff member leave. It's not about only protecting yourself from the outside world. It's also protecting yourself from within as well. I mean, we can sit here and everyone can say we've got the most amazing staff, and but we've all been in situations where we've had to move people on, and you need to protect yourself from that perspective as well. So, I can guarantee you that every firm doesn't change passwords 100% of the time when every staff member leaves. So, and a lot of times it's not practical. So, but there's tools out there that you don't have to do that necessarily. So hiding a password through a password management tool, hiding passwords, you can still log in at all autofills and all those kinds of things. Multi-factor authentication on as many platforms as possible. So the financial planning industry, I mean, there's 17,000 odd platforms in place, and ASIC, I think, from a perspective from a protection, about 700 of them. So there's a lot of things out there that you're logging into. You're handing control over to the third party. You're transferring information. But there's also a level of responsibility on how you access those systems, because a lot of these platforms have multi-factor authentication and certain password policies and all these things. A lot of the time they don't come turned on. So we work with firms to make sure that your third-party platform protection is also lifted. There's so much, Nigel, to cover. But you've got to start somewhere, and as I said at the start, sort of through the conversation, lifting your posture from a very low level to a reasonably high level is relatively easy. The last 10% is probably relatively hard, but it's a process over 3, 6, 12 months to do that. And on this, what is also important, if you take out cyber insurance, which I highly recommend people look into, a lot of this stuff is required. So no longer are the underwriters just saying, okay, well, here's a policy, move on. As you know, the underwriters are saying, have you got these platforms? Have you got these policies in place? Have you implemented this, list of items? Otherwise, they won't even look at insuring you. And of course, they're looking at ways to not cover, not to pay out in the event of a policy claim. So that dynamic is changing as well. So all this needs to be done, and I'm sure as a result of the Optus breach, this is the focus is going to come on a hell of a lot more. And I'm sure no matter what industry you're in, it's going to become more and more of a requirement to have these things in place, more specifics, more reporting, and I'd encourage people to get out of it, because it's not going to be, this stuff's not going away.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the last thing we want is people who are trusted custodians of their clients' information is that that gets breached, even if it's something that we've put all the steps in place to try to avoid that. But that would be a terrible situation to have to call a client and say, look, we've been hacked, and even though we had it all in place, your data's out there. That would be an awkward and not a nice conversation. And as we're seeing with Optus, you know, it's very damaging from a customer point of view and from a business point of view. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think also this is probably a little bit of a prediction, but I think also off recent events is that I think people will start to question people also prior to any event occurring. You know, what protections have you got in place? And it'll be front of mind when people are handing over their passport, their driver's license, their tax file numbers. I think people, we've started to see that with some firms already and clients of firms saying, policies and procedures, what are you doing to protect me?
Yeah, and then we should be able to go back to them and say, here's our policies and procedures. I mean, even just last night I was on a Telstra chat. They were trying to tell me to upgrade my phone and asking for all sorts of personal information. Now, in the past, I would have thought, oh, well, it's Telstra, but, I asked the question, but then they come back with an answer, and you think, well, how do I know that? It still could be, Optus just got hacked, so... You have to sort of trust them to some extent, I suppose, but otherwise nothing gets done. But I think clients should be asking and saying, well, where is my data saved and how do I know you've got policies in place to protect it as best you can? I mean, everyone knows that there's that tiny, tiny chance of no matter what you do, things can go wrong, but as long as you're doing the best we can to protect their data.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. So if something does occur, you follow the plan in terms of alerting all the authorities, and you've got a good plan in place for how you contact customers as well. That's also part of it that we take people on the journey with. So it's not all only technical. Is making sure that as a firm, you've got a good process in place to go to clients and say, this has occurred. This is what we're doing. These are the things that we've had in place to protect. Because there's some things that occur we refer to in our industry as zero-day events, where there's been a breach on a system. And there's hackers starting to breach this before there's any even potential of your systems or platforms protecting you. So, I often say big firms in any industry spend tens of millions of dollars on their cyber protection. A lot of the time the big firms get caught out by something, broadly they're very good, but there's a little slice that they haven't looked at just because of the size. So they've got size against them, but they're spending tens of millions of dollars on this and they still get hacked. The big thing with small and medium firms is that you've got exposure in terms of can you cover off all the areas from an IT perspective? Yes, you probably can. Can you lock them down as much as possible? Yes. And there's still a lot that you can't do because, again, as I went back, you're using third-party systems. How secure are those? So, and particularly in financial planning, I mean, just on a daily basis, think about how many systems and platforms you log into. It's incredible.
So in terms of, again, a lot of the people listening to this are probably in the running a financial planning business or they are also end clients. What are the checklist for a advice accounting firm, the basic things they need to have in place today, really, to make sure that they're mitigating as best possible. And obviously this is an evolving space. So it sounds like, obviously, as you talked about before, we'll let you run through and things like your training and processes, but email security is obviously, we're so used to just transferring stuff on email. Obviously that's probably got to stop almost today, hasn't it, by what you're saying?
100%. So that needs to be looked at. Transfer of information. We there's a few things. Multi-factor authentication, having an IT professional look at your, a lot of financial planners use Microsoft 365, some Gmail, but there's a lot of protection to put in place in regards to that platform. We utilize a lot of AI in terms of where people are signing into your account, your own Microsoft 365 account. Are they coming in from other countries? We can pick up on all this data now and go, no, actually, for example, you, Nigel, you've been, logging in from Sydney. There's been an attack or an attempt to log into your account from another country. That just doesn't look right. Whether it be a successful attempt or not an successful attempt, we know about it. So there's a lot of things that we can put in place and monitor from an email platform perspective. Securitizing your domain, a platform and piece of technology called DMARC and DKIM, which ensures that well, it doesn't insure, but reduces greatly the level of attempts to spoof your domain. So people sending as your domain, because that's a big, big possibility of occurring. So there's that piece of technology. Again, not a costly piece of technology to put in place. It's for a small business of one or two people, it's not costly at all. Transferring of information, don't transfer it over email. We put in place mechanisms to share information via your cloud platform that is password protected, multi-factor authenticated protected. So when you send that information to the third party, they're forced to verify who they are. So all these things we put in place. Password management tool, we cover that extensively. That's a really important one. And then there's, you know, a very methodical process we go through of, you know, well over 100 things. You know, a lot of the stuff is implemented without sort of, we advise our clients, but without input of the client for protection and lift that security posture right up. But as I say, it's lifting that level can take 2 weeks. To a great extent, the balance takes some time, but make a start, get ahead of it, because this is not going away.
Well, that's been really interesting, obviously very topical as well. Obviously, we'll have your details there. If anyone's not using a provider that can help with this and All IT, highly recommend. We've been using you guys since we started the business over 10 years ago now. So, but right now this has become huge. It's no longer small businesses worrying about turning on computers. It's about a huge risk to their client data and their business. And, you know, it could ruin a business. Absolutely. If you lost your client's data, then you're in all sorts of trouble from a money point of view, but also just a client credibility point of view.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's, as you say, exposed on breaches and fine remediation now, as we spoke about, and reputational risk, not only to the business that you're in currently, but, you know, any future reputational starting again, it's it could finish people and has already. And that's going to be exposed a hell of a lot more, Nigel, I think, moving forward, where a lot of this stuff sort of, it didn't really get exposed. I mean, the big events like Optus, but I think it will get exposed a hell of a lot more moving forward, because everyone is hyper aware of their personal privacy and information out there. So it's the exposure is going to be even greater on people should an event take place.
Yeah, I think people from an individual point of view as well, you know, protecting all their passwords, having, you know, a lot of people have got their phones and just have a little simple, probably their date of birth on their phone, you know, for example, that gets into everything. So people just being much more security aware, knowing where all their details are. The number of times we've come across people who don't even know which bank accounts they've got or where their logins are and things like that. You think, wow, you know, it's just opening themselves up to all sorts of danger, and having multiple accounts that they don't even need anymore. Those sort of things can just open up their own personal safety, but securing their own personal information securely as well, rather than on an email somewhere or, you know. So we've all got a lot to learn. It's another thing we've all got to get our head around, and luckily there's experts like you who can help us through all this.
Yeah, so, you know, reach out. I encourage anyone that, you know, if you've got a current provider, make sure that they've got policies and procedures in place for you. Have you had a review of your cyber? Have you had a review of your IT in general? I'd really encourage it and put the pressure on the providers, because no longer that, reactionary industry. You know, IT often in the past was, oh, I've got a problem, fix it. It's the proactiveness now is a must, and it's an ongoing fight. Not only on cyber, but just in general for, you know, how can you become more effective with your IT? You know, there's a lot of platforms and tools you can put in place, you know, moving to the cloud fully. A lot of financial planners are not fully in the cloud. There's a lot you can do to streamline your business as well as going on that journey will increase your posture just by transforming your business. So that will inadvertently help you as well. You know, moving to the cloud if you engage a professional to do that. So, yeah, happy to speak to anyone in that regard.
Excellent, Tom. Well, really appreciate your time today and your insights. I think everyone's going to find this really helpful, obviously very topical. Any final comments?
No, reach out to me. I'm on LinkedIn, and really appreciate you having me on, Nigel. And it's been a pleasure working with you and your team over many, many years. And look forward to evolving your cyber protection. And it's, you know, it's a journey that we're all on, and it changes at the rate of knots. So no doubt we could be sitting here in 3 months' time, and the things that we do today are outdated, and we're doing, you know, new things and new policies and new procedures and platforms and you name it. So it's staying on top of it. So it's ever evolving and changing. But thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much, Tom. And for everyone listening, we'll have Tom's bio, ways to contact him, LinkedIn profiles, etc. as well. So thanks again, Tom. I'll end the chat here. You've been listening to The Future Financial Advisor. So if you've been enjoying the show, please make sure to share it with your network and leave a review on your favourite listening platform. Or if you've got some ideas or thoughts or would like to come on as a guest or know someone who would be a great guest, then please let me know. To learn more about Scientium, just go to our website, scientium.com.au, or look me up on LinkedIn. Look forward to speaking with you and see you on the next episode.